Hello.
Welcome to Mind Body Stuff. I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
How are you guys this week?
How's your week going?
Can't believe summer's almost over. Well, the school year summer.
Well, it's like the middle. Isn't it the middle of summer?
No, our kids start in a month.
My kid starts August 28th.
Yeah, my kid does too.
But it's like August. What's today? July 22nd.
This podcast comes out.
Oh, next week. Yeah, that's great. Oh, how depressing.
This podcast comes out on the 30th. Just so you know, it's less than a month till school starts as of today.
It seems like takes me a while to get used to summer.
It takes you a while to get used to everything.
Everything takes me a while. I'm like, but finally, I'm like, this is summer. All right. And then summer's going to end. I'm like, oh no, this is school.
But if you think about just the months of summer, it's only been 1 month.
It has only been one
month. June 21st to now, July 21st, August, September. So we have 2 more months of summer.
We do.
Weather-wise. Yeah, because then fall starts September.
Oh, you mean like
that's
weather.
I said the months.
Oh, got it. Got
the
it.
Months. Took me a while. Summer is, yeah.
Takes me a while, folks. Get a little older. You know how it is. I'm like, what? I'm like, school ended June 8th. Anyway. June 21st was the summer solstice.
Yes.
And
yes,
I have noticed it that some days they're getting
shorter.
A little bit shorter.
You can totally feel
it. I just started to notice it.
I know.
Like, uh-oh.
I know. It's sad.
It used to go on and on.
It's happening.
And on. The world keeps revolving.
So it's your birthday week. How are you feeling?
I feel pretty good. I had a really good weekend.
Good.
You guys came up. My friends came up. Kaylee's one of them. On Friday night. We had a really good night. Just being ladies.
Ladies.
At the lake. Ladies at the lake.
Ladies who lake.
And that was really nice, just without kids and partners and just us, which was really fun. And then yesterday, me and my daughter and her husband just rented a boat by ourselves.
Awesome.
And toured around the lake, kind of slow motion.
Fun.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So,
and then you're going to go back to the lake.
I'm supposed to go back, yeah, Wednesday and Thursday.
So you have a good chunk of vacation
time. Yeah, a good chunk. And I get to meet, as people had heard on the previous podcast, about the driveway.
Oh,
but
yes.
But I meet the
the lady?
The landscapers.
Oh, the landscapers.
They're coming give me some ideas.
That will help you.
So that I don't have to get buried in thinking that it is unfixable. Obviously, it's fixable.
No, it's fixable.
So we're going to work on that.
It doesn't actually look that bad, you guys, just so you know.
Yeah, I felt good when Kaylee came up. She said it doesn't look that bad.
Sweet. And you do have more parking.
I have way more parking. And so I said to myself in a mantra. Over the weekend, I'm like, got more parking.
I have got more parking.
Got more parking.
How many people do you think have that mantra?
Got more parking.
Got more parking.
Don't focus
got
on
more parking.
Got more parking.
Got more parking.
There you go.
Yes, what we have, not what we have not.
Yes, that's always exactly right.
It's hard,
and
though.
What we stress on is, you know.
Well, usually what we have not.
What we have not. And sometimes, you know, I realize I'm kind of a lucky bitch, if you know what I mean. So I better not complain too much.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun. Look how the little lines got so little.
Yeah, because you got into your whisper voice.
And then once upon a time.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Better not get too quiet.
So what are we talking about today?
Oh, well.
Dr. Lindner.
Dr. Lindner. That's never going to happen. Mm.
You're kind of a doctor of Ula.
Doctor of Ula.
Dr. Ula of Lindner. Dr. Lindner Ula.
You guys know I'm like way into Game of Thrones right now. I keep talking about it. I know I'm years and years and years behind. I get that. But you know what? I just had to find it when it was right for me. But anyways, there were some emails going out and somebody had to introduce Rob. And they wrote it as, and Rob's Game of Thrones name's Rob, husband of Kaylee of Ula. I was like, first of her name, please add that.
I love that.
But yeah, it's funny. So we're going to talk about.
Yes.
We're going to talk about, I think, an issue that maybe a lot of us have felt from time to time is, you know, people find Ula and love what it stands for and love the people that they meet through Ula and the way that they feel. feel. And it becomes this like little, to quote Lori Rogers in the Twin Cities, this little love bubble. And, you know, you think that the love bubble is like this unbreakable thing, and it almost becomes like this fantasy land in a way. Mm-hmm. And then there's like this massive amount of disappointment that I feel that people can experience when it's not all unicorns and rainbows.
What?
I know.
What?
Isn't that so shocking?
It is very
that
shocking.
That a make-believe fantasy land does not actually exist.
Because I've been counting on it.
So I just wanted to touch on that because it's come up a few times recently. Just where people feel super bummed out when ULA and the people involved in ULA and ULA classes and all that just isn't this utopia that some people are hoping that it is.
Mm-hmm. Or that it might appear to be.
Or that sometimes it is.
And it is. Like today we had 2 new people in class. Uh-huh. One from San Diego and one from, I forget where. Where was she from? Seattle or something. I can't remember. That's not right. I'll say North Carolina.
North Carolina.
And they were just dancing in the back and they had such big smiles on their faces. Brand spanking new.
They did.
And we talked to them after class and they were just like, they just had so much fun. And they're like, how do we get this in our communities?
Oh, yeah.
And luckily the woman that brought them said, well, you can watch it online. And then I said, well, you can come to a training. Mm-hmm. Of course, we'd welcome you at a training. But you could see they were just like, this is my, what would you say? Like my drug of choice. You know? And I think it turns out for some of us
That's
that it
funny.
Becomes kind of our drug of choice. For me anyway, I think, you know, it's like, you know, mm-hmm. if I don't do it, I get kind of like, I think in myself, it's almost like a drug, right? Where you're like, I don't need to do it. And then like the day after you haven't done it, maybe you normally do it. And then you're like, uh-oh, I feel kind of weird today. Kind of like a hangover. Not a hangover, but you have the withdrawal symptoms. And I think it is because of all the endorphins and everything linked to it mm-hmm. and the community aspect of it, mm-hmm. how we develop some of our very dear friendships through it.
Absolutely.
That it gets hooked into so much. It's such a bigger, bigger thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost mm-hmm. like your parents where you're like, I love mom and dad, you know, and then suddenly you turn like 15 and you're like, they're kind of dumb.
Yeah.
And then maybe it's like that, like a maturity thing. Like maybe you go through a period of like, well, mom and dad are kind of dumb. And then when you're like 20 or 25, you're like, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, thank goodness I have them.
Yeah.
So
right?
Maybe the cycle with ULA is like that sometimes where people are like, mom and daddy, ULA. And then partway through, they're like, that's not really perfect.
Or like, you know, when you first meet someone and you fall in love and you're like, oh my God, this person is perfect. They're like, you know, amazing in there's nothing like they're perfect. And then as you get more and more in relationship with them and as you get more intimate with them, then you're like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I hate how you leave your dirty socks on the counter. I hate that you're a slob, you know, like the process can happen. And I think with ULA sometimes is people get disappointed that ultimately it's just a bunch of humans.
Mm-mm, just
you know,
bunch of-
and humans are flawed. Every single person is flawed.
Well, I'm not, but you are. That's too bad.
But like, yeah, I feel like there's this, I think we just need to be really honest about, you know, we need to be honest about that. And we are this empowering community and we are this inclusive community and we are trying our best, but does it mean that we're always going to get it right?
No.
No. Does it mean that we're never going to have uncontrolled emotions? No. Does it mean that we know how to handle ourselves and situations perfectly all of the time? No, it doesn't. And I'm sorry if that's disappointing to some people,
mm-hmm.
but like, it's not we who, you know, run the company and your fellow instructors or your fellow participants, you know, it's really really fascinating because it seems so upsetting to people when they're like, but you're part of my ULA community. How can we be having this issue? Or like, you know, when like politics rise up and you know, like however people address it, you know, personally in ULA or within the class, you know,
or publicly people are like, in the class.
Oh my gosh, how can I disagree with you so much, but yet still feel so connected to you in ULA? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's like, it just brings up a lot of like, I don't know if it's fear or it like kind of unearths people when they're like, wait a minute, I thought we were here to build each other up and that we were, you know, supportive, but like, how are you so blah, 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 whatever it is, whatever the situation brings up.
Or why is that your politics? Or, you know, all sorts of things come up where you're suddenly like, you're not my soul sister.
Yeah. And then it's shocking.
Very shocking. And then, but then what is a soul sister? You know, I'm sure like in the bigger picture, a soul sister is flawed.
Right.
I mean, that is like, I'm flawed and you still love me.
Right.
Regardless of my flaws.
Right.
And you're willing to kind of accept them. Like, well, that's Bernice's flaw.
Right.
But geez, all these other things make it really good when I get to dance with her, mm-hmm. whatever it is. So I'm hoping for us anyway, I'm always hoping that we're modeling how to be in the world. And we're even modeling through our mistakes. Mm-hmm. And are we going to make mistakes with the modeling? Why, yes, we are.
For sure.
Because we don't have the answers.
Yes.
I don't have the answer. I don't know if it's written somewhere. We're kind of fumbling through, like, this looked good. This sounded good. Does that feel good?
Right. And one of the things that I say a lot, especially within the, like, community of leaders for ULA, this became apparent. This just became something that became really important to me. It's, we don't want you to love us. Or, I mean, yeah, you can love ULA. And I know that we kind of fight about this a little bit. Not fight, but like, anyways. We have a disagreement about this. I don't need the ULA community to love me. I want people to love themselves more through ULA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when there's this like adoration or there's this like putting people on a pedestal, like it can be really upsetting when those people may not act in a way that you would hope, or when those people may go away, or when those people, you know, have their interest shift, then it can be like very upsetting to the people who have looked up to them so much. But it's like, ULA is not about a person, and it's not about worshiping or loving these people in a way that is just unrealistic. It's the purpose of ULA is that so everyone can love themselves more. With that self-love, hopefully then it opens this space that we can become better community members. We can more easily trust one another. We can more easily and more enjoyably connect with those around us, understand and process our own emotions, have compassion for other people's emotions, all of these other things that can happen when self-love is a focus of the work.
Mm-hmm. Right. And they talk about the difficulty of when you put people on a pedestal.
Sure.
You know, in therapy, they always are like, well, did you put him on a pedestal? And I'm like, maybe I did. Yeah, maybe I did. Mm-hmm. Because when you put someone up high, there's always going to be a chance they're going to fall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long way to fall. It's way longer to fall from up there than if they're right next to you.
Yeah.
And that's why I hope with ULA that it's about the community. It's about you guys. And it's about a love of this thing that's been created, mm-hmm. that you've created, this ULA that everyone's creating now. I feel mm-hmm. it as this sort of dynamic, organic creation in a weird way that you got the spark for it and then you kind of handed it out and then everyone's kind of like, blah, 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 you know,
gosh,
making it and building on it and growing with it. And sometimes I think, you know, there gets a confusion with us or with the product, like, well, then it's not all perfect, but it's like, but nothing is all perfect.
Right.
And maybe that's what the lesson is. That's why we're doing this.
Yes, exactly.
In the broader picture.
Exactly.
For all of us, because, you know, I thought my marriage would be perfect.
Right.
You know, I got married and I thought, here we are. It's all mm-hmm. in the books, you know, and then mm-hmm. happily ever after, mm-hmm. I worked really hard and I got the guy of my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But then suddenly, like a year or two later, I'm like, uh-oh, it's not perfect.
Right.
But does that mean it's bad?
Exactly.
It's not bad.
No.
It's darn good.
It's just not a. It's not make believe fantasy land anymore. It's not a fairy tale. It's
so
real
hard
life.
For us because we want. I think we're raised so much on fairy tales mm-hmm. that we want something, anything to be a fairy tale.
Right.
Give me a fairy tale.
Yes. And that being said, I do think Ula, the Ula community and the Ula sphere is a more heightened and more easy to access. Like it does make it easier to access those connections. I mean, how many of us can say that some of our best friends, we met through Ula? I think a lot of us can feel that way because there is this like breaking down of barriers that does happen quicker in this community. So I don't want to sound like an asshole, but I do think that Ula does help us do this work, this personal work, a lot easier. And I think it opens up this
with
space.
With support.
I think this community almost has a silent handshake. I always say that. I'm like, I feel like we have
that.
A silent handshake where it's like, you know, we just have almost like, it's like this, yeah, it's this silent handshake. And we're like, oh yeah, like, you know.
Yeah,
I'm
I remember.
Let you do
like
you,
I wore my Ula shirt somewhere and someone was on a plane somewhere. Yeah. It was like Salt Lake or something. And then someone came up to me and they're like, do you do Ula?
Right.
This was like a few years ago. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I do. And they're like, me too.
Oh, that's so cute. That's so funny because I was on a plane once too, just totally I was with my family, but I had something that said Ula on it. And they're like, they said that too. They're like, do you do Ula? And I was like, yeah. And they didn't know who I was or anything like that. And like my baby was crying. I had Frankie and I was like walking up and down the hallway and I really had to pee. And she was like, do you want me to hold your baby?
Aww.
And I was like, yes, please. Could you? And there was like this immediate sense of like trust where I was like, yeah, you're a total stranger, but I'm going to like just hand my baby off to you and I'm going to go use the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And like Rob was in another seat and he had the girls, but it was like me and Frankie. And I felt like this greater sense of trust than I would have if it were just a nice lady on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
So I do believe. Yes, we're not perfect, but I do think that there is something special about this community.
Well,
I am just going to say that.
That's what makes it hard for people when things go a little bit awry
yes,
sometimes.
Because they're like, wait a minute, I thought it was special.
Yeah.
It's like, it is special.
Yeah, it'd be like working at a company where things are kind of rocky all the time.
Yeah.
And then you're just kind of like, well, that's just how it is.
Yeah, that's
how it is. Whatever, it's always a little stressful here. But for us, it's pretty darn good most of the time. So when there's something a bit off, it's more shaking a little
right.
bit. It's more like, whoa.
Well, that's a really good point because if you're like, I'm never really valued as a person at this company. I'm used to it, whatever. But when you feel like I'm at a company that really values me, then if
good
you feel like you're
point.
Not acknowledged, you're like, but I thought that I was valued here.
Yes.
And it's really interesting. Like
your expectation is higher.
Yes. And then the chance for disappointment is higher
oh,
too.
Oh, good point.
And I've been having this like really weird internal battle. Like because we have so many Facebook friends now that are through Ula, I have a really hard time because like on any given day, it'll be like 4 people have a birthday. And I'm like, I should go in and say like happy birthday to everyone that I know through Ula because I feel like that's like the Ula thing to do.
Yes.
But I'm really working on time management. And
yes.
So like, I feel like I've missed so many people's like writing happy birthday on their Facebook page or whatever, because I feel like it's what I should do.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I'm so sorry. You know, I missed your birthday and I feel like an asshole, but it's like and in those situations, I struggle because I'm like, the Ula thing to do would be to take the 3 minutes and write something thoughtful to them for their birthday.
Right.
I don't want to just go in and write happy birthday exclamation mark because I almost feel like that is in more like
impersonal.
A cop out or something.
Yes.
But I'm like, I just don't have it in me right now to write something like heartfelt in this moment. So then I just don't. But
well,
then it's funny because it's like, but am I acting in the spirit
that's
of Ula?
A very good
am I
point.
Acting? Am I always acting
that
in the spirit of Ula?
That dichotomy and duality. Is
yeah,
what
it's really interesting.
I've been trying to do it less just because I want a model that we don't all have to do that.
Yeah.
Because I did for a while, maybe a year or two ago.
Yeah.
You know, where I was like, oh, so-and-so said that. And then you have to risk, you know, or for the birthday thing in particular. Now I'm like, hey, everybody, let's just like,
if I see you on your birthday,
I'll say happy birthday.
I'll say birthday.
Exactly.
I'm so happy for all of you when it's your birthday, but I'm so sorry if I don't say happy birthday on Facebook.
But
like,
I
you
think
know,
we
it's
should
funny.
All be, because I think we were all getting into that kind of social media frenzy a little
frenzy.
Bit.
Frenzy, yes.
And it's like, it's okay for all of us to slow down.
Yeah.
You know, take a break or whatever we need
it's
to do.
Totally unsustainable.
Oh, it's
God.
Unsustainable. It's like suddenly you're in a village of 2,000 people, you know, and suddenly you're having to wish everyone a happy birthday.
Yeah, you got like 4 birthdays
I'm
a day.
Every
you're like,
day, I'm
yeah.
all like, uh-oh. oh, happy birthday. You know, I'm like, and then I'm like, don't stress about it.
I know, it's just a funny, tiny little thing.
It is very funny.
But I've had this, like, internal conflict about birthdays on Facebook lately.
And Facebook prompts you to it,
Would you like to say happy birthday to
thank
them?
Thank you, Facebook,
and
for
I'm
that.
Like, you're shaming me.
Yeah.
You're shaming me because I actually don't want to.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, I don't want to, okay?
I know, right?
So you don't have to say happy birthday to me either.
Don't
nobody
say happy
has
birthday to me.
It's totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want you to have a good day.
Yeah,
whatever
exactly.
day it is, have your best day.
Don't
you
feel
can.
Pressure about me and whatever it is. Yeah, Bernice's birthday is Wednesday.
Yeah, no need. Just have a good day. Everybody try and have a good day.
Just have a good day.
Every day, if we can.
That's a funny segue, but it's true.
No, like, it's true.
It's not the ULA way not to wish them a happy birthday.
Well, it's very true. And it's like, and how can we broaden this discussion to the broader audience too? Maybe folks that don't do ULA or who are partners
with
ULA
absolutely.
Partner people. That anything that we, that becomes so meaningful to us can then have the expectations are higher.
Yes. And there's that pressure.
And there's a higher amount, a higher degree for disappointment. Too.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I was
yeah.
just talking about Nelson Mandela.
Oh, yeah. This
before
is so
we
good.
Started, you know, and everyone's like, well, he's all about peace and finding peace. And Nelson was for sure. He did his journey with that. But I can imagine him. He's a human being. I'm sure some days he's like, shut up, everybody.
Yeah, right.
I'm just angry today. You know, I'm not going to be peaceful today.
Right.
And luckily he wasn't in the age of, you know, where everyone's tracking you 100% of the time.
Yeah, right.
Because he's a wonderful, flawed, gifted, talented human being.
Yeah.
That raised us all up with his ideas and his yeah. viewpoints. But like,
and I'm sure he had bad days.
He had bad days. And we can ask his friends and his family members and they'll be like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Old Papa, boy. Sometimes, you know, whatever it is, you
yeah.
know, I'd be like,
he wasn't always peaceful.
He wasn't always
but
peaceful.
But it doesn't mean that that's not what he stood for or that he
yes.
didn't model
it doesn't
that for
negate
us.
All the wonderful things
exactly.
that he gave the world.
I think that's such a good point.
Yeah.
I think we all just need to be more gentle on ourselves. Like, we're all trying. We're all trying. And we all want, I think, I mean, maybe not everyone, but probably most people who listen to this podcast, like, you want to be the highest version of yourself. And you want to be the best whatever in relationship to the other important people in your life. You know, you may want to be the best parent or partner or friend or coworker, but you know what? You just can't be that every day.
Mm-mm, no,
and it's
you're
okay.
just a wonderful, flawed human being.
And I think when we can see the humanity in each other rather than, yeah, like idolizing people, then
oh.
it's like, then there's so much more grace in that process. Like, I got an email like a little bit ago, and sometimes people almost use what we stand for as a community against us
mm-hmm.
because I got an email like a little while
it's
ago.
A very
it's like,
effective argument.
It's super, and
it's
shameful.
Like, whoa, very shameful. Works very well.
It works for, very well. It said something like, well, for being a community that stands for, or a company that stands for supporting one another, I just really felt like, you know, you didn't offer me that or whatever. And I'm like, my fuck, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sorry that I didn't handle that the way that you wanted me to.
That was unintentional too. That wasn't like,
yeah.
yes, I'm going
like,
to go out. And
there was a, you know, like maybe there was an oversight on my part, or maybe I'm just fucking maxed out and I'm not handling everything exactly as I should be in this moment. I'm sorry. I just had a baby. Like I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not going to handle everything perfectly.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean I'm trying to exclude you or that you're not important. Or that ULA still doesn't, you know, have
stand
the
for community.
Stand for community.
Yeah.
It just means that I'm a human being and I wasn't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
know? And it's just hard because.
Because you want to be perfect.
Yeah, right? Who doesn't want to be perfect? And who doesn't want to always do everything right?
I want to be perfect.
Who wants to miss an expectation? Nobody wants to let people down. No one wants to
disappoint anybody.
That's a really hard thing. But I think when we can offer. When we can offer grace for ourselves and for each other,
yes,
then we can see past those shortcomings because it's just, you're like, yeah, there's a human behind all of this.
Yeah.
There's a flawed, imperfect human who's just really trying their best.
Right.
You know, and that, like, it is so fascinating, the top 10 and how these songs just take on a new meaning. And like with Broken and Beautiful, that song, it meant something to me when it came out, but it has totally shifted for me lately because I just feel like I am I am pretty much maxed out and I feel like I'm very tender and I'm very fragile right now. And where she's just like, I don't need you to fix this. I just need you to hold me. Mm-hmm. I just like, no one can fix the things that I'm going through right now. I don't need anyone to fix it. I don't need anyone to fix me. I just need people to hold me and to love me and to let me be imperfect and to let me be tired. Mm-hmm. And I just need that permission, you know? And so there's also that other side too, where it's like you also not only permission to take up space and permission to use your voice and permission to use your body and touch yourself however you want to and all this permission that we try to give in Ula, but it's like also I give you permission to just not be your best right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, like it's really interesting. That song has just taken on a new meaning for me.
Well, and it's like whenever I do that song, I always shout something like, you know, when you're broken, then the light can come in.
Yeah, yeah,
so, and
sure.
It's like, and it's true. It doesn't feel good to be broken, of course. I'm not saying, you know, of course, some of us do like it.
Let's take that's a sledgehammer. That's a whole other story right now.
Yeah.
See what happens, everyone.
But it's a, you know, it's not pleasant to be broken. And so it's like, we want to avoid it. But of course, if you have to break, then you can, some more light gets in and the shards, then you glue the shards back together and maybe you glow a little bit better.
For sure.
You know,
absolutely. It's like that Japanese pottery.
Yeah, that people kept posting, whatever that's called.
Yeah.
And they do it with the gold or something.
Yeah, they fill it in with gold. Yeah. And it's interesting going to the top 10 again, because I was going through this, like, I don't know, a few weeks where I was like, just not really loving my body either. And so for that song, it's like, can you just love me? Like, can you just, don't fix me. Don't think about improving me.
Don't try to change a thing.
Can you just hold me and love me? And I, you know, and so then it morphed into, you know, a relationship with my own body for a little while. Now it's morphed into this. Like, it's just so cool when we give these songs enough time and we let them really sink into ourselves, like how they can help us heal, how they can help us process and deal with what we're going through in the moment.
And that's the thing we stumbled on just by chance, is this repetition, the repetition of these songs kind of that I don't know, just off the top of my head, I wouldn't have thought quite so clearly how impactful they would be with the repetition
right.
of week after week after week. And it's not just for me. It's not just like, and same for you, not just me doing it. It's me watching others do it. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly I get this kind of like revelation of like, oh, it means this to this person that I didn't even think of.
Right.
And then sometimes I'm like, I relate it back to myself or just stays with that person.
Yeah.
But it's like all, I appreciate just all those stories, those layer upon layer of stories that I wouldn't have got if we were just like, well, maybe I'll do Broken and Beautiful two or three times. I don't know if I really like it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I have to do it over and over again. And I have to do it in other people's classes too.
Yeah, yes.
And so I just love that, you know, that repetition quality of that growth that you have with some of these songs.
Yeah.
So I'm super appreciative of that.
Right.
And it's like, you know, you get to know something intimately, the song. And it's kind of like Ula. You get to know each other pretty intimately without having to use a bunch of words.
You totally
do. You know, it's kind of like, love, let me tell you my last story.
Yeah.
We're going to have a few drinks this evening, you know, and I'm going to talk about my childhood.
Right.
You know, which is what couples or friends do a lot.
Right.
But in Ula, there's this quickening of that intense knowing, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where the disappointment comes in, because it's like, I thought I knew you.
Yes. Right. It's like, right. You're like, oh.
And
you know, a chapter of it. You know?
I do. I also was looking at this thing where it's like, we also like, I feel like it's really easy to say the words, I love you, to people at Ula.
Yes.
Like I say,
I love you. And it's meant. I believe it's meant. Yeah.
It is meant. But I do know that some people like that can be like a vulnerable or an uncomfortable or, you know, just not familiar thing to just say, I love you so freely.
Yeah.
But I was reading about, the different words for love, and the Greeks had 7 different words for love, and I'm not going to pronounce them all because I'm going to mess this up, but the different 7 are sexual love, deep friendship, love between parents and children, playful love, love for everyone or selfless love, long-standing love, and love of self.
Mm.
And I think that's so cool because it's like, when I say I love you to, like, you know, someone that I've danced with 10 times, I can mean it.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have to love her the way that I love
Huxley,
or you, or my husband, you know, and it doesn't mean that it's not real. It doesn't mean it's not true. It doesn't mean it's not
meaningful,
you know, and that's something that I think is kind of cool to know, but it can get confusing too. If you're like, but I thought you said you loved me.
Yes. Right.
But you didn't tell me happy birthday.
Again, that high expectation.
Like, yeah. It's interesting too. So I just, that kind of put an interesting thought in my head about like,
interesting.
I can say I love you and I can mean it, but it doesn't mean that I'm speaking with the same love that I have for my partner, you know?
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'm like, well, does that person really love me? They said they love me, but are they just BSing me?
Right.
Because it's like what we say around here, but it's like, no, you can love in so many different ways.
Yes. Yes. That's such a good point.
So I thought that was interesting, just thinking about the intimacy too, that makes people want to say, I love you so quickly in Ula.
Oh yeah.
And we do mean it.
Oh, we totally mean it. And then today we, one of the new women, the other one was in the bathroom when I introduced myself to her. Otherwise I would have done it to her too, but I hugged her. And yeah. She was all kind of like, whoa, you know.
Yeah, right.
But I was like, and I didn't feel comfortable because I was trying to take my cue from the other person. Uh-huh. Which sometimes I'm like, oh my God, be good. Like, let it go. Stop trying to cue from the other.
Yeah, just you know, like you, and they can.
Yeah then they can figure it out.
And so, what's the worst thing that happens? They have to hug you for 3 seconds.
Then she hugged me back.
Whatever.
And it was, but you know what?
They can handle
after it. She was flustered at first. And then after she had a great big smile.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to model, like, even through my uncomfortableness, as everyone knows, how I'm having my hugging issues, as we've talked about in the past. But it was like, it was a good exercise again to be like, you mm-hmm. know, welcome to this intimate environment. Mm-hmm. Like, we are going to do intimate stuff together. It does feel like that in Ula.
I mean, it's super like intimate. It's a really intimate experience.
It is very intimate. And even today, a woman came in to pick up some stuff from the back office. And we saw her go in the door because we were outside having a meeting. And then she came back out and she kind of looked over at us like, oh, something intimate's happening in there. And then she came over and she said, I'm just here to pick up a package for so-and-so.
Yeah, right.
But she could even feel the intimacy of the class.
She's like, I don't know if I should go in there.
Yeah. And then I was like, I'll lead you through.
And then she's like, okay, great.
Follow me through the intimacy, you know, well, and I'll get it for you. But that, I think that's where we get into this utopian vision.
Yes, that's where it comes from.
And anything that gets, but unfortunately, anything gets into utopia becomes unrealistic.
It totally does.
It's not sustainable.
It doesn't exist. Or it may exist for an hour. Maybe you have utopia. Every time you go to class, maybe you're like, this is my utopia and nothing can ruin this.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get on Facebook and you see so-and-so hung out without you or so-and-so was invited to something. You're like, wait a minute.
Then Bernice sent me the certification paperwork.
And I told her. Yeah. I mean,
you know, whatever it is.
Yes, exactly.
And that doesn't feel like utopia.
Because you're being emailed about something that you'd already talked to her about. And she should know this. You know, it's like, yes, it's like, okay, but who is ruining this utopia and what expectations have you placed on Ula or the people in Ula or your instructor or your best friend who's also an instructor? Like, what unrealistic expectation have you placed on this that took it out of a bunch of humans trying to figure out this whole life thing?
Yes.
And into this make-believe world where it's really not possible.
And we make that mistake with our partners, I think, a lot, too.
We totally make that mistake.
Expand that into another, you know, this other discussion. But I make that with my partner where suddenly I'm like, it should be utopia.
Yeah.
Because maybe it did feel like that for 2 days. You know what I mean? And then I get hung up like, if it's feeling like that, then this, I need to leave.
Yeah.
You know, I get this weird, and again, it's that weird fairy tale stuff. Babe, you know, Bernice, this is not utopia. This is living. This is life. This is where you're going to spend days apart, where you're going to have to work, where you're going to have to do stuff that's unpleasant for you.
Right.
You know, but that does not mean that your relationship is any less
shit. Yeah, exactly. Or that you need to go elsewhere to find that type of love because it doesn't exist.
Yes, because you know what? I would do it again.
You would just repeat that over and over.
And maybe for 2 years I wouldn't. 2 years it would be utopia.
Well, and like, it's just such good work. It's like so self-reflective, some of this stuff, like going to my marriage, so outside of Ula. But like, I'm just like, sorry, you have to hear this again, but I'm just really like feeling Max out. Mm-hmm. And I've just got, you know, in the adulting podcast last week, you guys heard about we're going to have to build out a new studio. You guys have heard that we're building a house. Like, I've got these three small children. Like, so I don't feel like I can do anything. I feel like I am.
And there's
just
a time frame on them too. It's not like, well, we're building a new house. Maybe we'll do it in 10 years. You know what I mean?
It's like and it's like this studio. It's like, well, guess what? Your building is going to be torn down by next fall. So you have to start the process of planning now. Mm-hmm. You have to
do it.
That's
just how it is.
You just have to do it. And like, yeah, we bought this land. It would be way more convenient if all of my children were in elementary school, at least by the time we started to build a house. But we just, it's going to be 5 more years before Frankie goes to school. Like, we just can't wait that long. We've got the loan. We've got to sell our current house. I mean, there are things that have to happen right now. And so I feel totally maxed out. And so I was just like, you know, stressed about everything, being in the process, like not sleeping. I feel like I'm at like pretty close to my breaking
maximum capacity.
I'm just at max. Hey, everyone, just please don't have any crises that you need me for, because I can't handle it right now.
Or you can
now
contact me if you'd like.
Contact Bernice if you need any help with anything.
Because I'm not maxed out right now.
Yeah, and you know what? You're just better at handling a bunch of stuff. Like, you operate differently than I do. You don't get stressed out by a bunch of stuff in the way that
no,
I do.
No, just dumb stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I can be like, but then you have this and this and this, and you're like, oh, that's easy.
I'm like, well, let's just, should we contact? You're like, contract?
Yeah, for me, I'm like, oh, God. So anyways, like last night, we just had a busy weekend, come back to our house, and we just had all this stuff and, you know, just all this stuff to do. And I was tired, and Rob's like, go to bed. Just
busy
deal with
weekend.
It.
Yeah.
He's like, go to bed. I'll deal with it. And I was like, okay, thank you.
Thanks,
and I was like, but don't forget, we need to do the laundry. Oh, and don't forget, like, you got to pick up the blah, 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 all this stuff. And, like, I laid down in bed to watch Game of Thrones.
GOT.
As I do every night now. And I was like, my neck really hurts. And he came over and he just started rubbing my neck.
Aww.
With Deep Blue. And then I was like, I had a moment, and this makes me feel like such a bad person, but I had a moment where I was like, I would rather you go do the laundry than give me a neck massage. Because, like, there's something, I'm like, I can handle a sore neck, but I need to know that the laundry is done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then I had to stop and be like, Kaylee, what is wrong with your brain right now? Like, prioritize the love and the partnership right now over the laundry. So there's just something inside of me that I have to figure out how to better cope with chaos, because it's chaotic in my life right now.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it doesn't look like it's going to slow down anytime soon. So I've got to figure out how to deal with that. And so I am grateful to be married to someone who is really probably my greatest teacher when it comes to one of my greatest issues.
Yeah.
So does it mean it's perfect? No. Does it mean, like I said, which I felt bad about, that sometimes I fantasize about being with someone who has OCD?
No.
No. But what it means is that it's, you know, like, probably the greatest thing that I can learn right now is how to find a sense of peace and calm in chaos.
Yes.
And I have a perfect partner to help me with this lesson. Although he is the one who creates all the problems, he also is going to help me figure out the solutions to them.
I do that too. I kind of create some of the problems in our family too.
In your family?
Yeah.
Or in our relationship?
Quiet. I do create chaos a little bit, because every time we've bought a house, it's usually when one of my kids is like a year old.
Oh, sure.
Which
is
a weird, and Mike would be like,
why are you doing this now?
Yeah. Like, you're under so much stress.
Yeah.
But it was almost like I get this weird, like, I don't know what it is. Like, I got to do something with it.
Right.
And then I'll be like, create more great chaos.
Right.
Maybe because I can't focus on that chaos, I make bigger chaos.
Oh, yeah. You're like, we're going to make a one-year-old feel like it's small change compared to, like, uprooting our whole life and moving.
Let's build this new house in Lolo on the river in the floodplain.
Exactly. But going back to the utopia, sometimes I'm like, it could be so good.
Oh, I know.
We love each other. We've got a great life. Like, I create this, you know, it's like, we don't have any real big problems. So I'm like, so if we don't have huge problems, why isn't it utopia?
Yes, good
And I
point.
Think transferring that back to Ula, it's like, we're like, yes, but it's like, It could be perfect, so it's got to be perfect.
And but it is like, perfect sometimes.
Sometimes it is perfect, but it's like, but then we just have to analyze, okay, what is this person? How is this person? How is this challenge? How is this disappointment? How is this missed expectation helping me to grow as a person? How can I find a sense of compassion for the other when I feel disappointment?
Yes.
How can the people that we interact with in this community and our own community with our immediate families or our jobs or whatever, how can the moments that I feel disappointment, that I feel rejection, that I feel hurt, that I feel all these things, where can I continue to grow as an individual? Yes. Because you don't grow in perfection. Utopia is not going to demand your growth.
No.
Utopia is a place where you can just sit back and enjoy the perfection.
Yeah.
So we also have to be grateful and curious about those moments that challenge our belief about what all of this is.
Yes, and teach us more about ourselves.
Absolutely.
That 100%. Narcissistic quality of like, tell me more about me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, help me understand me.
Help me understand why this triggered me in the way that it did.
Exactly, exactly. And so that I can tomorrow live in better alignment with how I view myself.
Yes.
Or how I want my best,
how I want
my better
to
self
be.
To be.
Yeah. Or yeah, how can I, or the potential that I know that I'm not there yet. Okay,
yeah.
But let's keep growing. Let's keep moving in that direction. And I think one of the things about ULA is that we can all help each other on that journey.
Yes.
But it's not always going to be in feel-good ways, just like some of the songs that we do. It's going to have this conflict to them.
Right, this dissonance.
The dissonance sometimes is going to be there.
Yeah, right.
You know, and it shouldn't like shatter your dreams or make you be like, I don't know that person anymore. No, it's like, okay, but what's
type
your
of
lesson?
Community is this?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's like, well, it's still a great community.
I thought I was accepted, but I feel rejected.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Well, why is that?
Why is that?
What's going on?
What part do you have in it? What part does the other person have in
yes.
it? Where is that? Have you communicated with that person? Have you communicated how you're feeling? Have they communicated? I mean, there's just so much opportunity for growth in these moments of dissonance.
Yes, there is. And that's human. It's humankind.
But it is tiring. And I can say that I am.
It is tiring. Very. It is so,
like,
tiring.
I'm so tired.
And then I'm like, well, maybe we could retire.
I know.
You know, get a little place by the lake. Lay out in the sun.
I know.
Get
Trust
some
me.
Skin cancer.
Trust me. I'm like, maybe I'll just have one more baby. And then that'll be my excuse to be like, see, this is all too much.
I think I can't possibly do it now.
I have 4 kids. I can't do anything else except
raise my children.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that is a big freaking job right there. Like, as we're talking,
as we
I
know,
have a
right,
babysitter at home and I have someone who cleans my house. So for those of you who that is your job, it's a big freaking job.
Huge job. No one should be ashamed of saying, by the way, that that's their job. I remember being ashamed of that.
You were?
When the people would say, like, well, what do you do?
Oh,
do you
yeah.
know that whole, like, what do you do? And I'd be like, I raise children. Because it felt like such a, I don't know. I don't know why you feel like that's not enough.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like, you know what? That's enough.
Yes.
That's totally enough. If that's your enough, that's freaking enough.
And it's okay, going back to utopia, it's okay if you thought all I wanted.
Yeah.
Was to have a family and be a mom, and you're in that situation and you're like, I don't think this is enough.
I don't think this is enough. Right. That's totally fine too.
And then you feel bad because you're like, this is all that I wanted. And now
and
I have it.
And I told everybody about it
and
too.
And I told everyone this is and what I wanted.
And then now, everyone's like, well, you got it.
And now I want to go back to work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Like, but I think we also have to realize that nothing is going to be perfect.
No, we have to give everybody grace.
We do have to give everybody
grace. Grace to yourself, grace to the other, grace to these institutions and people we put on pedestals too, by the way, whoever they are, our leaders in our country.
Well,
you know, sometimes we get so upset where it's like, well, then he said this instead. And it's like, well, calm down.
And I want to ask you about this because you reference him sometimes. What's the guy you love that you used to love and you'd like check out his website and he does all the inspirational talks and
Jay Shetty.
No, huh? No, the other guy who's like not actually a
good
dad.
Oh, I know.
He's like, yeah, not a great family
man. You know, what's
man.
His name? You guys know. He's like, he's super popular. Oh my gosh. I can't remember his name right now.
What is it?
He does all like bring power to your business.
It's not like Tim. It's like a...
I can see his face. He looks like a weightlifter.
He totally looks like a weightlifter.
Anyway, it turned out... We'll remember his name and we'll post it. I'll look it up. But he had his kid... You know, his kid was like a few years ago. Everyone's like, oh, you know, it's so-and-so's kid. Is that the school up in northern Montana for troubled youth.
Oh, right. But yet he's this like big inspirational speaker about how to transform your life.
Thousands and thousands millions, of people. Probably. Millions of people come to his, he has these massive, he does his big astrodomes.
Oh, he totally does.
He gives the talks. And it was I'm like, oh no.
Right.
But his child is struggling, you know, and that's okay.
And it turned out that he was like shaming. Oh, he got in trouble.
Oh, the
he
ladies.
Like shamed that lady.
Yeah.
Something about her marriage and like he's like, well, something about like, did you give him reason to,
right,
you know, whatever.
Trouble.
Like he got in trouble for that.
But of course we forget. He's a human being.
But yeah, he's a human being. And B, are there still really awesome lessons that we can take from him?
Yes.
You know?
Yes,
like,
good point.
Am I still able to do my personal work because of some of the tools that he's given me or just some of the awareness that he's helped me
create
in my life? So maybe it's less about the person and it's more about the lesson. You know, it's like the teacher isn't who we should idolize. It's the lesson.
It's almost like you say, he's a conduit.
He's a conduit.
For this information.
So maybe he can't totally live all this himself, but at least he's providing tools so that people can transform their lives in ways that they need to.
And then we don't have to knock him down because his kid was a troubled youth.
Yeah.
It's like, because for me it was like shocking, like,
so
are you kidding me?
I know. So it's curious, I think, for everyone to like think about that. Like when you hear about someone that you've really looked up to has done something or is, you know,
isn't perfect,
then is it going to discredit everything that you may have like
learned
from
that
person?
Yeah.
Because I had to stop and think about that. And I've also
That's a very good point.
I've also heard some weird stuff about Deepak Chopra, which I've learned a lot of great stuff from
thank
him.
Thank you, Deepak. You
but
know?
Like I've heard people who have like worked with him or
he's
you know have
difficult to work with.
Yeah, and I think I think he's a big narcissist. I think he thinks he's like pretty hot shit, and he's got this ego thing, and so much of his work is about like you know becoming egoless or at least you know and so but it's like but do we do
but I
we
wonder
say,
if that makes him a really good teacher for that.
Yeah, maybe.
He's struggling always with his ego.
Well, and that's such a great thing to bring up because some of the work that we do in ULA, it's because it's the work we need, and I'm going to say you and me, but definitely for me, so much of the reason why I'm doing this work is because this is the work that I need to do.
Yes.
So how am I supposed to be perfect at it when this is the work I need to be doing?
Yes,
I'm working, I'm practicing, I'm trying, you know? And so, but like then with someone with Deepak, who's like obviously on a way different level with all of this, it's like, okay, well, Do we just appreciate the lesson or do we discredit the lesson because he may not be able to fully live that himself?
Yeah, they said like Einstein was a philanderer and bunch of stuff.
Well, yeah,
about
and just when
Einstein,
you think about like our the different
does that lesson anything any of his discoveries?
You know,
it's like whatever, dude. You're living your life. I don't know what your life is about. But thank goodness you discovered whatever.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff.
It is really fascinating and something for all of us to think about in all aspects of our life.
For sure. And not just ULA. Like, wherever you, it's like, these are my people. Or maybe for some people, it's like church, you know? And then you may hear that, like, I know that my husband's grandparents, there was this huge uproar because they found out that the pastor had been cheating on his wife. And it was like, you know, you representing like family and all of this, and then you found out that the pastor was unfaithful. So then it's like, well, it doesn't mean that he didn't give amazing sermons that touched people's hearts and helped them find, you know, forgiveness for themselves and, you know, a closer relationship with God and all this stuff. Like, does it take away any of those lessons?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
You know?
Yeah.
And so then where I get into conflict with anything is like, okay, well, where does hypocrisy come into this?
And also, are they trying to better themselves?
Yeah,
like
sure.
I want to know, like,
Are you doing this work?
Are you aware?
And at least with this pastor, he was very upfront. He's like, I've made a terrible mistake. These are my struggles. This is what I struggle
with. And that's beautiful because then you're presenting your problem so that we can all learn from
for
it.
Sure.
Like, so what's going on? And Mike had a pastor like that when he was young, and he revealed that he was an alcoholic.
Oh, sure,
And that he had to leave for a while to go get treatment. Mm-hmm. And then when he came back, half the people shunned him.
Oh, yeah.
But the other half, like from then on, Mike was young at the time, was just like, just totally listened to him.
Right.
Because he was upfront. Because
he was upfront and he was honest.
And he was honest with his struggle. And he was willing to use that as an opportunity for everybody to learn.
Yeah. Like, and he could show up and say, I'm still a human being.
I'm still a human being
and I'm flawed.
I still want to teach Christ's word, whatever it is, but I am terribly flawed here.
Well, and another example that I think is just fascinating is like when you hear about politicians who are like so anti-same-sex marriage then they're like caught with like 16-year-old boys.
Yes.
You know, and I'm like, but here's the thing. If you can just be honest about your struggles or your conflict or how your desires, if you can just be honest about that stuff and not like preach something that is from a place of shame
and project it,
like I think that's where things get dangerous, because I do believe that with Ula, this is what we want. This is like, this is our path and
this
our purpose
is what
and the work
for too. But striving for the work.
Yes, exactly. And we're trying. We're
and
trying
when we
hard.
We make mistakes on the way. We definitely will make mistakes on the way.
But then it's like, in those cases, I'm like, just say that you struggle with this.
Yes.
Say that you know that you're married, but you're attracted to men. I mean, just be honest about your struggle.
Yeah. And you can see where that would be your first stage of like, well,
like, this is wrong.
Oh, this is wrong. And so I'm going to project that out there. And then hopefully your next stage of self-reflection and enlightenment would be, oh, shoot.
Acceptance.
I'm acceptance and I'm struggling with this. Uh-huh. I want everyone to know this is why I was so strident.
Yes. And if we can just let the human aspect.
And then we're all like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell us what comes out. The other, you know, how this journey happens and where you're going to end up.
Right. Because it's like when we can just show up as humans.
Yes.
And say, this is where I'm at and this is what I'm struggling with, and not say I'm above all of this and I'm the law or I am the church or I am whatever it is.
Right.
Like when you say, yeah, but I'm still a human and I'm struggling here.
Yes.
And this is my personal journey.
Then everyone's like, tell me more.
Yeah. And you can almost have more compassion when someone doesn't act like, when someone doesn't put themselves on a pedestal either.
Right. That's a very good point. Cause some of us put ourselves on pedestals.
But it's like, you can't maintain that either.
No.
Just so you know.
And then suddenly you're pulled down.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that guy, the guy that was doing Stormy Daniels. He was the, he was the attorney.
Oh, yeah. What did he get in trouble for?
I forget. Like, but he got big trouble, kind of.
Totally.
But he was on every news show.
Yeah.
And suddenly it was like because he put himself out there, kind of like, listen to me.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh.
Yes.
He put himself up pretty high.
Yeah, he did.
And then it was like,
if you say, I am perfect, then you better be perfect.
You better be perfect because someone's going to find a flaw.
Yeah. And I think that we can all just say, I'm not perfect. Ula's not perfect.
Ula's not perfect.
Nothing in this world is perfect, but it doesn't mean it's not beautiful.
I love that.
You know, we're all
broken
and beautiful.
We are.
Well, anyways, thanks for listening. Enjoy your summer day, everyone. We love you guys.
Love you guys. Thanks for listening.